It's time for Fed Talk, the live show for Feds in the know. From federal agencies to Capitol Hill, the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth bring in experts from across the federal community to bring you inside the issues. Fed Talk is meant to provide general information about legal issues. However, the views expressed in this program are not intended to provide legal counseling. Listeners are cautioned not to rely upon any statements made in resolving legal issues they may face, but instead to consult with their own attorney about specific situations. Attorneys are not engaged in providing legal services while appearing on the program and are not responsible in any manner for the consequences that may stem directly or indirectly from reliance on any statement made during this program.
Good morning and welcome to Fed Talk. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and today I'm joined by Kathy Sands, who's the president of the Women in Federal Law Enforcement Foundation, and Janice Ayala, who's the vice president of WIFL, to talk about the upcoming conference and some of the programs and initiatives that WIFL is spearheading to advance the careers of women in law enforcement. Just a reminder that Fed Talk is brought to you by GEICO, where 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance. For more information on GEICO, go to geico.com. And if you'd like to join our discussion today and speak directly to our guests, call our toll-free number at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. Janice, Kathy, welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today to talk about a great topic that, especially with a conference coming up, it's good to get some information about the WIFL Foundation and WIFL generally. So wondering if you could tell us each a little bit about yourselves and your position at WIFL. Kathy, I know you're president currently.
Yeah, I took over in January of this year. Last year, I served as vice president of the foundation. I retired after 31 years in different federal agencies, and I was asked if I would take over. Our past president, Margie Moore, decided to retire, and so we had a succession plan.
And they twisted your arm
and got
you
was
involved.
The succession plan.
So, well, that's great, and it's a good organization. And real quick, and we'll get into it in a little more detail, there's both the Women in Federal Law Enforcement as the professional group, and then also the foundation.
Correct.
So two separate organizations working in the same way, and you're the president of the foundation?
I'm the president of the foundation, and I'm the executive director of the other.
Got it. All keeping it in the family. And Janice, you're also with WIFL. So.
Yes, I am. I'm currently the assistant director for Homeland Security Investigations with Immigration and Customs Enforcement. I'm the WIFL vice president. I joined WIFL back in the 90s, and I'm a lifetime member, and I've been working in law enforcement for almost 22 years.
Great. So a lot of good experience and putting it to use to help others. And why don't you tell us a little bit about the mission of WIFL and how it came about? Because WIFL has been around for a while, but wasn't there from the beginning.
Right. WIFL started out as the Interagency Committee on Women in Federal Law Enforcement. And that was created as an interagency committee by both the Justice Department and the Treasury Department, because at one time women were prohibited from holding the positions such as special agent. So the first women were hired in 1971 and 1972 after President Nixon signed an executive order that changed everything. OPM created a task force, and that became IC-WIFL. In 1999, a group of women got together, and they created the WIFL, Inc., which is the membership organization, as a nonprofit or a not-for-profit because it's based in Virginia.
And was it really created to look at some of the issues that were still, I guess, going on, getting women into law enforcement, mentoring, providing a place for them to?
Yes. Starting from 0%, we're now around 16%, give or take, depending on the agency. And that's after 41 years.
Right. So it hasn't been this big of women, unfortunately.
It progresses very slowly. It also progresses very slowly on the state and local side. We're about equal across the board.
And does WIFL represent just federal? I mean, it is federal law enforcement, but is there some sort of working with state and local as well on these issues?
We work with our sister organizations on different issues. We also one of the big differences between IC WIFL and the foundation is that when we became a nonprofit, we actually expanded to cover all women in federal law enforcement agencies, both sworn and non-sworn, because we find that the non-sworn women have some of the same problems being in a male-dominated profession.
Mm-hmm. And so this is a place to work on those issues, talk about it.
Yes.
And is that something, you know, I've heard you both talk, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, something that Deloitte had sponsored, talking about women in law enforcement and some of the culture change. Have you both, since you've been around in the community for a while, seen that that's been an issue, that there are barriers to women in law enforcement, or just a cultural difference, and is that changing?
There are still barriers because you still have situations in which there are no police women in some police departments. There are only a handful in certain federal agencies. You may still be in an office that you are the only, and that is a rather isolating way to work. So by having the organization, it gives you the ability to branch out and make connections with people that can help you throughout your career.
And I think that's probably one of the things that you've both seen in, because you've been in different agencies, and I guess folks in WIFL, members of WIFL, are in across the government.
Yes.
Yes. I think what WIFL brings to the table is an opportunity for women to get together and share some of their unique struggles. I mean, obviously, for women, there's a cultural and a lot of pressure, social pressure, to be, you know, the mom or to be at home. And it's a hard balance to maintain between work life and home life. And I think when we are able to get together and talk about some of those challenges and how we can work to overcome them in order to also be focused in on our work and be able to place ourselves in a position where we can be eligible for promotion if that's what we choose to. Obviously, with that, there's women have huge challenges with being mobile, which is something that special agents are required to be. A lot of time their spouses or partners may not be mobile, and there's a lot of decisions to be made as to who's going to take a backseat to whose career. So I think WIFL gives you an opportunity to talk about those things and also to see yourself in certain positions. I think when you see other women that have climbed the ladder, you can at least feel that you can achieve the same. So the more women you see in different positions, the more confidence and more motivation it gives you to try to do that, if you so choose, to try to get ahead in your career.
Well, and that's kind of the interesting thing is that I think people hear law enforcement, and there are some very unique challenges about being in law enforcement versus some other workplace. But there are a lot of similar issues just being, you know, career flexibility. If you're a parent, if you're, you know, caring for others in your family, just, you know, there are some very women specific issues that are probably across the board. But you mentioned a little bit some of the difference in culture. And I think are there some specific barriers that women face going into, say, law enforcement versus working someplace else at a different, you know, different company? Is it harder because the culture is different and just there aren't as many women in there, or?
Well, law enforcement itself is a hierarchical situation. It's more like the military in some aspects. And being male dominated, it just you're not part of the crew.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a long time to navigate. It takes you a long time to learn how to navigate everything from the politics to the cultural issues, and not only the differences between men and women, but even the culture of your agency is among it, agencies are
right.
different.
And each one has their different things. But I think one of the things I heard you say at the Deloitte program a while back was that women do bring some very unique strengths, though, to law enforcement or to agency, you know, different communication style, a different leadership style. And so that's maybe where you go with some of the mentoring programs and highlighting some of that.
Yeah, Kathy Lanier said that being a woman was an advantage, actually, for her, that because you approach things differently, you sometimes get people to change the way they think. And by doing that, you can really move your agency or your profession forward.
And I think that's an important message for people to hear, because I imagine, as you said, if you're the only female in your division or your department, you don't always have some of that past experience to look up to. So that's it seems like that's a great place for WIFL to be. And I think those are some of the issues you talk about at the conference that you have coming up in a little bit. And we're going to stop here and take our first break. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the conference, what people can expect, and what you're going to be focusing on when we come back. And right now you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brought me to our nation's capital. I was taking a stroll around the mall when I met a very nice gentleman from Ohio who asked me a question. What kind of word is GEICO anyway? An excellent question, I replied. I told him that GEICO isn't a word, it's an acronym, and it stands for Government Employees Insurance Company. I explained how GEICO actually got its start 75 years ago to help federal employees save money on car insurance. Interesting, the man replied. But today, GEICO saves lots of people money on car insurance, including me. Have you ever thought about changing the name? I said. It's a thought. But Gecko sounds like GEICO. If we change the name, I might be out of a job. We strolled a bit more, stopped for some tea, and we both agreed. It's probably best to keep the name just like it is. GEICO.
To get a free rate quote, go to geico.com. Then buy online or over the phone. If you're a federal employee or belong to an association like Big, Few, Young Government Leaders, and others, you may qualify for a special discount. Contact GEICO today to request your special federal savings.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and today I'm here with Kathy Sands and Janice Ayala of WIFL, the Women in Federal Law Enforcement Foundation. If you have a question or a comment, please give us a call toll-free at 1-877-936-9333 or email us your questions at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And when we left, we were talking about some of the programs that WIFL does, and you have an upcoming conference in about 2 weeks, I guess, down out in California. I was going to say down, but it's across the country. So big conference. Kathy, can you tell us a little bit about the conference and what people can expect?
Well, this is our yearly leadership training. And this year we are in Rancho Mirage, California, which is right next to Palm Springs. We are kicking off our new WELE program, which is our WIFL Leadership Executive Institute program. And Booz Allen, very graciously offered to help redesign our program, and it's kicking off. We're very excited about it. It's open to women from GS-13 level and above. It is for both sworn and non-sworn.
So people. A wide range of folks who can apply.
We're also going to have topics like leading during adversity, when something really, really bad happens. How do you keep your people on mission and not let everything just implode on them? And we've got issues like Waco. We've got workplace violence issues. And how do you run your agency when that happens?
So it's really kind of a broad range of, cause looking at Waco versus workplace violence versus some other challenges. I'm sure they're out there. It's
correct.
Pretty broad category. So,
And then we have some, really nuts and bolts type sessions like first line supervision. We're going to go over the things that supervisors do and say that get them sued.
Right. And the downside of
and
that.
What supervisors do right, so that the attendees will learn what path to take when they're dealing with employees. And it's very important, especially the first time you're a supervisor, to set the tone correctly.
Well, and it's not like that is intrinsic. People don't just come in and say, I know how to run, manage my team, or I know how to deal with, in each culture of the agency, how to deal with each part that you run across. So something that people need.
And then on the continuum, we've got subject matters. One of our best attended sessions is our retirement session. because most people don't get to go until they're in their, you know, 5 years from retirement, we start you out very young so that you can build your portfolio so you can retire. And just as an aside, I attended an OPM meeting on which they're concerned about the amount of money that women are putting away in their TSP account.
Do they find they're not putting enough away?
Is correct. That the problem? They're in, even when they seem to be putting enough away, they may be invested a little too conservatively.
Especially if they're younger and they're starting out.
And so the retirement seminar starts to set the tone for being a little more aggressive, a little more knowledgeable about what's going to happen with your accounts and things like that. So,
well, and I think that's something that's different with law enforcement, and I think people don't realize this, is there is a mandatory retirement age as well for some folks in law enforcement. And so you do have if you're going to be career, you do have a set date where you're going to be retiring and planning toward.
Yes, we have a shorter career span. So you probably have to put a little more planning into it. And if you want to retire on time, even today, now you really have to look at a second career. What are you going to do after you retire?
Well, because it's 57, is that correct?
57 is max.
Mm-hmm. And so that really does leave people open to what do you do next and how do you plan for something like that? So very different. And you also have a couple, it looks like on the ground trainings, going to see how things worked. Or I thought I saw on the agenda going to a CBP station or a...
We're going to go to a Border Patrol checkpoint, people that want to sign up, just to see what they actually do at a checkpoint. It's similar to some of the other things we've done, such as, you know, what does a border station actually look like when we're down in Arizona or something like that. We've done that. So everybody gets an idea of what the other agencies do and what the other primarily women go through in part of their jobs.
And of course, because there is movement, so it's helpful even if you're in an agency that doesn't deal with Border Patrol or checkpoints, you may come across that at some point in your career as well. So,
correct.
So not just understanding, but helpful if they're moving around. You also have an awards banquet. We were talking a little bit earlier or an awards program, and you've announced awardees. This will happen at the conference as well?
Yes, the award banquet takes place on the 26th, which is the Wednesday. We have just fantastic women were selected. I every year I'm just amazed at the talent and the courage.
And who chooses the award winners? What are they based off of?
We assemble a panel of retired law enforcement officers or active state and local. We, for our top prosecutor awards, we bring in attorneys to look at the work. And for our scholarships awards, we have people that are from the diversity sections of the agencies. We've got people that have volunteered as educators, and they review those scholarships, and the panels make the selections or make the recommendations for selections.
Okay. And I heard you say that some of the folks on the panels are state and local. So are the award winners also state and local, or are they just federal, or are they?
The awards are just for federal, but we do this year, two of our scholarship winners are state and local officers. Our members only is a local officer. Because we do have local members of the organization. And our top scholarship winner for just basic scholarship went to a young policewoman that was severely injured in a shootout and has to medically retire. So at the age of 28, she has to go learn to do something else. So she's broadening her horizons by going back to school and taking on another area of criminal justice.
Where the scholarship will be very helpful encouraging her to do that. So kind of a broad range of support that you guys are doing. And one of the things that I've heard you both talk about and we discussed a little bit was mentoring. And WIFL's been involved in that, especially as, you know, looking forward to bringing both young people in, but also current employees too. Yeah.
Yes, I'd have to say I've been fortunate throughout my career to have great mentors, and most of those have been men. And I've had a few women, but due to the fact that, you know, the population of men is so much larger than women, then that would be a natural thing. I've also probably mentored more men than women because of that same concept. But I do go out of my way to try to mentor women and to look for opportunities for women to seek their counterparts are, whether they're within the same agency or another agency, to talk about things that they may feel freer in discussing with another woman. So it's very important, not just at the conference, but throughout the year, through the many things that WIFL does, other workshops, and sending out their newsletters and keeping people in contact, to look for opportunities to engage younger or maybe some older people that are ready to do something different, and to, you know, be a sounding board to help them out. And I always encourage people to remember, you know, we go to these training conferences, and while they're looking for mentors, they should always be in a place to look for that mentor and then get ready to mentor someone else.
Right, and pay it forward or pay it, you know, around to other people. And do you have a formal program, or is it more of a just an informal connect people, find somebody you fit with? And
It's more informal with WIFL. I mean, many agencies have formal mentoring programs, like the agency that I work for. But with WIFL, it's informal. And it really makes a difference to be able to be in an area where you can decompress a little bit, and where you're surrounded by a supportive group for you know, a few days. Many of us work in agencies whose missions is 24-hour a day mission. We're always connected somehow to, you know, the computer, the phones, BlackBerry iPhones, and other devices. So being able to relax a little bit in an environment like that really makes a difference. It gives you the opportunity to speak freer and look for opportunities to meet someone that you have something in common with or that you click with.
Well, and I imagine in some place like that, when it's, you know, formal to your agency, there's always that little bit of you're still on duty, you're still with people in your agency. It's, you know, part of the business versus informally meeting with people who have had the same experiences, and it's not part of that business setting. So makes a little bit of a difference,
yes.
I think, in that sense. And now we talked, too, a little bit about some of the barriers of women still being only 16% of law enforcement in some agencies or getting into it. And I know that you've done some work or are doing at the conference as well with the Girl Scouts to talk about bringing younger women into law enforcement or encouraging them to even look at that as a career, because I don't think women always think about that. Maybe more so now because, you know, just proliferation of, I always think back, pop culture, a lot of TV shows are about law enforcement. There's a lot out there now, but maybe it's still not the first choice for people.
It's funny. One of the agencies actually did some research because they're having trouble recruiting women, and they found that a lot of times women don't even consider the job, whereas all little boys tend to do cops and robbers.
Right. They all play this game and they all run around.
So at some point they at least consider the job of law enforcement. And so if you've never considered, it's too foreign to you. And so one of the things that we're doing is we're reaching out to younger women. Last year we did a mentorship with the Girls Clubs when we were in Orlando. This year we're working with the Girl Scouts. And it's actually, not only are we going to mentor the girls that are going to come to the conference, which means the attendees themselves have all volunteered to take a young lady give one-on-one mentoring, and then they're going to attend the career fair, which the Marshal Service graciously puts together every year and gets everybody ready to attend. And they'll also be able to go to some classes or sessions on topics like, is law enforcement for me? And they'll be able to ask the agencies the right questions, because the mentors will help point them in the direction.
Right, because I think if you haven't thought about it, you don't even know what to look for, what to ask, what to...
Well, I think people get overwhelmed by the number of agencies and the different missions.
Right.
Whereas when you think of your local police department, it's all inclusive.
Well, and people connect, you know, they see police or maybe come in contact. You don't every day run into a FBI agent or a DEA agent or ICE or, you know.
You know, I was going to say, I think you're right as far as all the law enforcement shows and how they have, you know, many women on them. But when we're speaking about that concept of the power of the mirror and being able to see a real person that's actually working in that field, then I think you take more from that and you can see yourself more in a position like that. So I think one of the things that we add to that is all of the recruitment booths that we have at WIFL during that time where agencies bring out all of their recruiters, they bring out information so that not just these young women could take advantage of it, but also women that have possibly have considered moving to another agency and maybe doing something different. Each agency has a different mission and sometimes are located in certain areas and people may just want to gravitate towards another opportunity. So that gives us another opportunity to speak to them and about expanding out a little bit.
Well, and I think that's something people forget. And I know, I think there's, 65 federal agencies that have a law enforcement component to them. Something eye-opening like that, at least. And I say that to people sometimes and they go, what? You know, how many agencies? And so both for younger people, but also current, even if you're in, you don't always realize that, you know, that you can be out in NOAA, you know, and do a law enforcement job or in, there's so many agencies. IRS has criminal investigation, you know, so it's a whole broad spectrum of what people see and assume is law enforcement.
Very often when you're trying to break in, you put all your applications in with every agency that you can, and you take the first one that hires you. For a lot of people, that's a match, and it's love, and they spend 20 or 30 years. And for other people, not so much.
Right.
And so they have to find their way to an agency culture that matches with their life.
Right. It's the dating game what you get. But, but you know, it does make a difference of being someplace that you do feel comfortable and like. And on that positive note, I do want to stop here for our midway break. And when we return, we'll continue talking about the conference and some of the other programs that WIFL is working on. And you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jenny Mattingly, and I'm joined by Kathy Sands and Janice Ayala from WIFL. If you'd like to be part of the discussion today, please give us a call at 1-877-936-9333 or email us at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And when we left, we were talking about mentoring and across the board and initiatives both at the conference, but also something that WIFL does throughout. But you've also done things I had mentioned before talking about seeing you both at a panel to talk about leadership and inspiring the next generation. And this seems to be a theme that you're partnering with groups. You had partnered with Deloitte at the time to get to different audiences a little bit. And is that something that WIFL's going to continue doing? And can you talk a little bit about the program and how that came up with Deloitte?
Well, Deloitte is actually one of our regular sponsors. They help sponsor our awards program. And this year they wanted to branch out a little bit more. And during Women's History Month, they said, can we do something that is different? And so we decided to come up with a panel discussion. And it was basic. We got women and to describe what was it like when they first came on back in the 70s and 80s, and what is it like today, and what barriers did they have, and how did you break them? And some of the barriers were, back when I started was, we were issued skirts.
Which you don't think about today.
And when we got pants, they didn't have pockets and things like that. And so, that was a physical barrier to just being able to do your job. Other women talked about such things as, one had a nickname, a man's name, so that, when the wives heard, they wouldn't know it was a woman. That was, their partner, that type of thing. Janice had some great stories to tell. Do you remember any of them?
No, I think most of what I talked about was a lot of the sacrifices that you make along the way and how you have to be prepared to make those sacrifices. So while we talk about mentoring and getting the next generation into a position where they can move on and replace, everyone that's leaving the agency, we also have to have honest discussions with them about what they may have to give up in order to do that, And we're living in a big city at a certain point in time of your life, maybe a good thing, but maybe going to a smaller place where you have more time to spend with your kids because you're not commuting so much, maybe a good time for you to go someplace you would have never thought of going to, like I did on many occasions, but it ends up being a blessing in disguise at the end. So those are the really tough challenges and the deep analysis that you have to really be engaged in order to make those decisions. So I think that's what goes into our entire mentoring process, and also looking at those opportunities to discuss those very specific issues that everyone has about when to make the jump from one position to the other. And just a segue from what Kathy had spoken about, that first line supervisor position, one of the things that we were going to talk about was also that transition and how hard it is for you to go from being one of us to now being the boss. And how that creates new challenges if you're doing that within the same group or the same office. So that was going to be a good focus for us during this training session.
Well, and that's an interesting point, because you mentioned that a lot of times you move, and law enforcement officers, special agents, a lot of times move geographically, but you might also move up within your individual, and that's the organization, and that's hard anywhere, that you make that transition and all of a sudden you're supervising somebody that you may have been on par with. And I guess too, and especially probably in some places, being a female and moving up might create some challenges as well. And I don't know if that's been your experience or something that you try to work on, or if it's just moving to being a supervisor in general.
Well, one is moving to be a supervisor, to go from being with your friends and we used to talk bad about the guy down the hall. You can't talk about employees like that because it's an improper personnel practice.
Right, you get in trouble.
You have to talk to other supervisors, So you start to draw that line, and it's tough with your friends. And that's why you always hear, oh, now you're one of them. But I didn't have as much of a problem being, the female supervisor, as maybe some people do. Every once in a while, I'd have somebody in the group that wasn't keen on taking commands from a woman. But for the most part, you know, once you get across the that women do supervise a little bit differently, we might think a little bit differently. It's not better, it's not worse, it's just different.
Right.
And once you get over that hurdle, everything runs just like any other group.
Right, and then ups and downs and having the training to be a good supervisor.
Yes.
Exactly, and having those that training and developing those qualities is the most important thing. So I think, I mean, obviously you have to be tough. You can't be too wishy-washy. But you can't be too tough because then you seem a little bit beyond the pale. But
right.
At the end of the day, as long as you're fair and compassionate and an employee knows that you have their back at all times, then I think that really helps you get over that initial hurdle of the transition.
And that's, again, watching people, having good examples to follow and having people to bounce ideas off of. Again, meeting with other supervisors is probably helpful. And is that why your WELE program is for GS-13s and above? It's very focused on giving people those skills?
We're looking at the group that's thinking about moving up, whether it's first line or, you know, you're a mid-level manager and you're saying, do I want to try that SES job on? There's a lot of decisions made in doing that. WELE gives you a chance to start looking at that, giving you skill sets that will help you get there, but also testing you, pushing you out of your comfort zone. One of the problems is we like to work in our comfort zones, and sometimes we bring subject matters in that really might push your buttons, and you might get upset. But the reason we do it is because somebody's going to push your buttons when
you
you're a manager.
Know how to act. Yeah.
And you have to know how to handle yourself. And these things are always going to be part of your work. As you move up, politics does play a part in what happens. Changes in law push you to do something else. So we try to bring those elements in a very rich and collaborative way so that you're ready to go back to your agency and put in for those positions.
And I think another thing that we've tried to get across also is a difference in managing or supervising or leading people of different ages, of different generations, that have different expectations and that are motivated by different things and may not see themselves maybe staying in one particular agency for a lifetime or career like some of us have. Like, I've been with the same agency my entire career. You know, so, my parents' generation or people tend to have, you know, stuck with that one company or that one career for a while. And that's not what younger people are doing today. So being able to adjust to those issues is something also that we try to discuss.
Because it really is a problem. I'm hearing that from people government-wide of dealing with, you know, the millennials, whatever, the younger folks coming in, because there's different technology, different expectations, different communications, and you don't always think about or realize that you've got to change some of the way you talk and interact, or just make it easier for them to understand where you are coming from. So,
well, and the other way around. I mean, the younger generation has to, you constantly hear about being focused with the texting and everything. And when you start to think about being a supervisor and you're going to be talking to an employee, you can't be texting while you're talking about, saying, well, you know, your performance hasn't been quite up to par, and you start texting, because you're not dedicating to making that person a better employee. And so, you know, technology has its limits, and sometimes you have to put it down to do a hands-on approach with people. And by the same token, the older generation has to embrace technology.
Right. It's a little give and take. Deborah Roth, who's the partner at Shaw Bransford and Roth, where I work, is always fond of saying, sometimes you have to have an in-person meeting. You can't just email to somebody or text them. You have to go sit face-to-face And, you know, and I think there's that give and take of when you can use the technology or communicate the way the newer generation does and when they need to sort of be in the understanding of the culture that has been. And
right. And
it still is merits.
So. In this profession, it's still very much face to face when you're dealing with witnesses and informants and defendants. You can't text in a confession.
Right.
An interview. You have to be able to actually look the person in the face and talk to them.
Right. It's a very people focused skill set here that you need as a law enforcement officer, because you are, you know, one, the danger aspect, you have to be aware and be, you know, you're in some situations, but also just the day to day interaction with people.
Correct.
So and I think that changes. I don't think people think about that as much in terms of supervising. But one of the things you mentioned was challenges of whether people want to go into executive level positions. And are you seeing that women are interested in moving up the chain, or is there some, you know, are there barriers to that? Because I see that government wide that people kind of go, I don't know if I want to, you know, move all the way up. Or
I don't know if we would discuss it in terms of barriers, but I think I would speak to the fact again of the what entails and what sacrifices you will have to make at a given point in your life to be a member of senior executive service, to maybe live in a specific location like DC, or maybe be the head of an office where, you know, your time is, you know, really taken up, whether it's physical time or virtual time on the phone, on the iPad, on whatever other device. So I think it's where you're at, what level of responsibility you're willing to take on at a specific given time in your life. So I think those are the kind of things that we try to work through during these one-on-one conversations, these sidebars that we have at WIFL.
And that makes sense, because people do need to make those decisions. And we're going to stop here and for our final break, hear a word from our sponsor. And when we return, we'll wrap up our discussion. And you're listening to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
GEICO's famous for saving people money on car insurance. And now, if you're a federal employee, you could be saving even more. In fact, you may already qualify for a special federal discount from GEICO. If you're a federal employee, or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, FLIOA, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you could be saving hundreds of dollars. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings. GEICO got its start back in 1936, specifically to serve federal employees. Today, we're still making it easy for federal employees to save money on car insurance. If you're a federal employee, you may qualify for a special federal employee discount. Or if you belong to an association like BIG, FEW, Young Government Leaders, and many others, you may also qualify. See how much you could be saving. Contact GEICO today to get a quote and be sure to request your special federal savings.
I'm Bill Bransford, host of Fed Talk and partner at the law firm of Shaw, Bransford & Roth. Fed Talk brings you inside information on hot topics in the federal community. From the halls of Congress to federal agencies, get the latest on the laws, regulations, and activities that directly impact federal employees. Tune into Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, as we bring in the experts to bring you inside the issues.
Welcome back to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We're entering the last segment of the show, so if you have a question or a comment for our guests, please give us a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-936-9333, or email us your questions at fedtalk@federalnewsradio.com. And when before the break, we were talking a little bit about planning for moves, whether it's, you know, taking the next career step, where, which agency. But one of the things we've touched on a bit but haven't talked about is that's specific to law enforcement in a lot of ways is geographic relocation. A lot of times when you move and you're, I don't necessarily want to say expected, but that's a big part of the job is to go to a different location. And that's different for people. And so, you know, I think that's a big planning aspect to it. And how often are folks moving?
Well, I don't think they're moving as much as they used to, primarily because it's a big expense. But they do sign a mobility clause for a lot of agencies, and you are at their mercy. Janice and I were just talking about, you know, when we started, we just went with it because we were just working. And I think one of the things that's happened from our ability in moving up and looking back, that the newer generations now have the ability to sit and plan. And, you know, don't let your agency dictate your career. You figure out when is a good time to make a move and where do I want to make a move. If I'm going to want to be a supervisor or a manager, when do I want to go to headquarters? When does it fit in with, you know, my kids? That type of thing. And if you plan aggressively, a lot of times it works out for you.
So you can look at where you want to put in, look at the jobs that are out there, think ahead.
It's funny because I had an employee probably about 2 years ago. He told me he was on a 20-year plan. And I thought it was like a 20-year financial plan. And then when I, you know, questioned him further about it, it was a 20-year career plan. And he had really kind of planned where he wanted to be in 20 years and what he thought he needed to do to get there.
That's impressive.
Yes, it is. And like Kathy said, I mean, we were just working. I was working. I was grateful to have this job, which I love, and it's a great job. And, you know, these things happened along the way. These opportunities came up. But now, you know, many agencies have career path suggestions or give you an indication of what type of experience you should have in order to move to the next position. So I think people are in a great position right now to be able to plan at least the options, you know, and get, I always tell people, you need plan A, B, and C. You have to have it because, you know, you have to be willing to say, okay, this is what I'd like to do, but this is what I would do if I had to under these circumstances. And, you know, I have to have a plan C because you really don't know when positions are going to come open. You can, if you wait to go to a specific location and it's a location where a lot of people want to go to, you may be waiting forever. So what's an alternate plan on somewhere else you may want to go or go ahead and go ahead of time?
Well, and I think I heard you say before that sometimes breaking out and moving to a small town, because there are positions across the country. I mean, not just talking the big cities, we're talking little area, you know, little places that people don't think about, and it may actually help your skill set or be the right fit for you.
Yes, well, you gain different experiences at those places. And also, again, you know, you have more flexibility, you spend less time on the road commuting, so you have more time to maybe take care of things at home a little bit more, which is a huge part of your life. Obviously, if you don't try to strike some type of balance, you're never going to have a great balance, but at least a little bit of it, then, you know, any stresses that are here just are, you know, are amplified, you know, in the work environment. So trying to plan for that really makes a big difference. So I encourage everybody to start planning right away.
Yeah, it makes sense. And one of the things I think WIFL has focused on in the past that previous conferences or maybe some other initiatives that's maybe a bit of a challenge for women in law enforcement is becoming a mother. You know, and I think you've done things about women and, you know, being a pregnant law enforcement officer or doing, you know, doing some things that are very specific to women law enforcement officers.
We've created a pregnancy policy guidelines, the basics. Any agency can go on our WIFL website and get the guidelines and then modify it to meet their agency needs. When we work in areas of human trafficking and violence against women, we worked on issues like the changing the definition of rape. We try to be progressive. We work with OPM on different matters of diversity. You know, as things keep up coming up, as they invariably do,
right, there's always something.
There's always something, yeah.
Yeah, and I think as you said, when you're going to have a child, then what ends up happening is you're wondering about that support system. If you have to hit the road in the middle of the night, not come back for 4 days, what are you going to have? And a lot of people, because they started their careers in remote locations or because they've moved around, don't have that support system. So really counting on your coworkers and the people around you to help you is really the foundation for being able to not say, no, I can't go, or I can't do this, because then you're looked upon a little bit differently if you're always saying no. So you have to have that. And I've been lucky in establishing that where I've gone. And like I said, you have to pick and look at the time where you can do that, because, you know, can you get up and leave and not be gone for a week and leave, you know, the 3-month infant behind with the spouse, or is there somebody else that can take care of it? So where you're at supervisory wise and location again.
Right. And have you found that agencies are fairly supportive of women in that role? I know that's a challenge across the board that women may have, is being supported as, you know, having the flexibility to deal with family or other obligations. Has that been a growing support network of understanding that women have some of those challenges?
I think, I would say, at least from my perspective, there's very supportive, but, you know, you have to equally be supportive of the male side of the house, because
Absolutely.
They're equally have some of the same challenges too, depending on what their spouse is doing. And, you know, they have a job that they're out of town or whatever. But what I want to say about that is that you still, as a woman, I think you feel more under pressure to not say, I have to go, or not do, certain things. You know, typically, you know, when a man is, you know, is making those games that, you know, or doing those things, people often think, oh, what a great dad, you know. But, you know, when a mom's doing it, they're just like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's a mom.
Oh,
you
right.
know what I mean?
She's
like, it's
say
just
no
kind of like
that job, right? Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. So I think you're under more pressure mentally, not at work, but under your own pressure to try to make sure that you're not trying to get any special privilege that somebody else into, because your goal really is to be on par with everybody else, to be even, to be looked at as being equal and being equally available. So it's an internal pressure that you put yourself under also.
It is, and it's a challenge no matter where you work,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it's law enforcement or otherwise. Yeah. But I think that is a good point, that making sure that the workplace is fair for everybody. And one of the points I did want to bring up is that I was reading this, is that WIFL also has male members as well. It's not just women. It's, you know, people who support these issues and makes the workplace better.
Right. And, you know, a lot of women's issues are family issues. And when an agency or a profession moves in that direction, it's for the betterment of everybody in their agency or department. It doesn't matter.
Right. It makes the workplace easier, more efficient, any of that. And, you know, one of the things you did mention, policy on pregnancy, but also work on the violence and the human trafficking. Is that all on WIFL's website? Or is there information on that if people are looking for it? Or has OPM done specific things on those issues?
Well, the human trafficking, we do a seminar every fall. And we'll do one again this fall. We'll post it on the website when it starts to come open. And, of course, we also post it through all of our agency representatives who go back to their agencies to let them know when that is going to happen. And this year we're working on also trying to do a Welly. We're going to see if we can
Great.
Get that together and try to do it in the D.C. area so that more people can attend.
Perfect. And where can people find out? What's the WIFL's website? Give it to
www.wifl.org.
Great. Well, thank you both for joining me. It was a great conversation, and look forward to having you back in the future. And good luck with the upcoming conference.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's all the time we have for the show today. Thank you for joining us. Fed Talk is brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Have a great weekend.